Talkstock.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Jess, in the middle of the White House briefing where the president made an appearance, is Jeff Holtzman from Talk Radio News. Jeff, I mean, you literally ran out of the White House to talk to us. The president making a rare appearance because he doesn't make that many statements. What did he have to say? Was it about the Affordable Care Act?
Yeah, Kate, this was essentially a victory lap for President Obama to celebrate the fact that the administration met their initial goal of 7 million signups through healthcare.gov. That news was announced this afternoon by White House Press Secretary Jay Carney. He told reporters that 7,041,000 people had signed up as of midnight last night for health insurance, private health insurance plans offered through healthcare.gov, which of course is the federal exchange that covers people in 36 states. And so the president held a little speech to sort of celebrate that. You know, he said in the past that he didn't want to spike the football, so to speak, but that's sort of what today was. I think the president is relieved that they were able to meet their initial goal. That's a goal that the Congressional Budget Office set forth. It didn't look good for a while. There were obviously problems with healthcare.gov for several months, but a late surge of people signing up brought the total to over 7 million.
Wow. Did he give a high five to Kathleen Sebelius or anyone specifically?
That's a great question. She was there, and she was working the rope line beforehand, hugging members of Congress and other, the White House calls them stakeholders, you know, people who were invested in promoting the law and helping implement it. But the president actually did not mention her during his speech, which is interesting. There have been a lot of stories about whether he has lost confidence in her because of the troubled rollout of healthcare.gov. Jay Carney, the president's spokesman, said earlier in the day that the president has had and still does have the utmost confidence in Kathleen Sebelius, so we take them at their word. I'm sure that there's been a lot of tension over the past 6 months, though, with the ups and downs of the law and the website. But, yeah, he did not mention her by name during the speech.
In the speech, when he was talking about meeting the goals, did he talk about, did he at all refer to the, hey, there was bumps, but we got there? Was it any of that kind of mea culpa, but yay, we made it, we told you we were going to do it, and here we are?
Yeah, it was mostly, you know, we did it, and, you know, hooray for us. There was a little bit of reflecting on the problems that happened during the rollout back in October and November. You know, he admitted that the law is not perfect, and we've had to make adjustments along the way. That's one of the things he said. This is an interesting thing. He said there will be days when the website stumbles. I guarantee it. It's going to happen, and it won't be news. That got a chuckle out of the audience. But the president's sort of trying to get out ahead of the fact that the website isn't 100% perfect. It will go down from time to time, just like it went down yesterday on the final day of the open enrollment. It was offline for a couple hours. So the president sort of alluding to that. He also said, you know, just because 7 million people or over 7 million people have signed up, that doesn't mean that all the problems in healthcare have been solved forever. And he sure is right about that, because even with 7.1 million people enrolling in private plans through healthcare.gov and, you know, millions of other people enrolling in the state exchanges, you still have about 30 million people in this country who are uninsured. Now, the administration says that over the years, obviously, you know, this isn't the be-all, end-all. I mean, you know, this is the open enrollment period is now ended for people who want coverage this year. But, you know, we'll have another open enrollment period starting in November. So the White House says that ultimately the goal is to insure those 30 million people over the course of several years. But right now, obviously, there's a long way to go.
Yeah. All right, Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kate. See ya.
So the president, to piggyback on what Jeff was saying, says health care is here to stay. This law is here to stay. But as Jeff mentioned, you know, there's a couple of speed bumps that could happen along the way. And we certainly know that the tally is a huge turnaround, however, just numbers wise, from what was the trouble in the beginning of the enrollment, which kicked in October. But this late rush of consumers jumping on coverage in these last couple of days, hours before midnight on Monday, selecting these health plans, made the big difference. Even after the official cutoff, they say about 100,000 people at a time were on healthcare.gov. That's the federal insurance marketplace. You already know that. Into the wee hours, and people who have started to enroll on the federal exchange even some of the state exchange people, have a grace period to finish the applications. So it's kind of like, boom, I'm in, now I got to finish the application. But the total means that the six-month sign-up period did achieve what the congressional budget analyst first anticipated and thought recently would be absolutely impossible. 2 months ago, when we talked about this, the analyst downgraded the forecast from 7 million to 6 mil, taking into account, I suppose, the massive computer trouble with the healthcare.gov site for most of the fall that stopped people in their tracks when they were trying to shop around for these health plans. So I think there was a surprise. I mean, I do think there was a surprise about the high total because it rippled through the White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and down the street to Congress. And the law met that part of the test, attracting large numbers for these marketplaces. Now the key thing is what happens when you're in these marketplaces and the cost is much more significant than you can afford. That's the problem. So in one way, the achievement of hitting this over 7 million, do you think they really hit the 7 million mark? Jack Down Under, who always is going to look at the Obama administration, let's face it, with a jaundiced eye, says, does anyone for a second believe that 7 million people have signed up? And, you know, that's a question. I think that the people have signed up. The tricky part of this is it doesn't mean you are a card-carrying insurance person right now. In other words, you signed up, like I put my name in the computer, boom, 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 this is the plan I want, and that's it. I haven't paid nothing, but I'm signed up. So how many of those people follow through? How many of those people realize what they're going to have to pay month by month when they get their bill? And then how many start to realize with these plans what the deductible is? Because there are a few little alternatives out there. And some Democrats and some Republicans are saying, wow, well, as far as the numbers are, well, I guess that's the pure numbers. But there's some hazy things about these enrollment numbers. And it's going to take some time to clarify it. It's going to take time to clarify what that means. Like I said, signed up and paid? Just signed up for it? Or what? It's kind of like that timeshare thing. How many people, if I'm out there hawking timeshares and I'm on the street and the boss guy says to me, yeah, this is your quota. You do not come back to me unless you have this many people signed up. So I am getting every Joe Schmo I can find because I want that paycheck, that minimum wage paycheck or whatever it is I get. And I am just booming, getting people, not qualifying them, getting just want them in. And then how many are going to end up buying the timeshare? How many people are going to end up not taking the insurance? I understand why there is some haziness in this. How many you're going to pay for them? How many have had no insurance before? So this was essentially a victory announcement for the Prez, but there is a political minefield surrounding the law. And we're going to talk about it during this hour of America Tonight. Coming up next, though, John Kiernan, does banking locally save you money? Are we being held hostage by bigger banks in our cities and towns? What's the deal on that? He's the senior analyst for Wallet Hub Report. They did an extensive background check on this, and it's awesome. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment solid basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the No-No Hair Removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for No-No Hair Removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my No-No. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-No has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the No-No, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible No-No hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
Welcome back to America Tonight in our virtual green room. John Kiernan, he's going to answer a very interesting question. He's from Wallet Hub. Wallet Hub did an interesting report. They analyzed big bank savings accounts from the largest city in one of the states that they looked at. They found a couple of different institutions, Citi, Capital One, and Wells Fargo. I know people are paying attention to what I'm saying right here, because what they were trying to show, and it was fascinating. The second I got the release, I dug through it, that with the 10 biggest, largest, whatever you want to call it, U.S. banks controlling more than 70% of the deposit market, can we say that most people's accounts are from whichever major bank institution happens to be operating in their area? So the question becomes, does banking locally save you money? And JK is the senior analyst with Wallet Hub Reports. So thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it, John.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, so I just kind of put some broad strokes that you guys threw out to us, the meat that, you know, that drew me in, the question that you actually were asking. So we'll break it down, but overall, does banking locally save you money?
Well, it can. It really depends on what city you live in and which particular major banks happen to be operating there. As you mentioned, major banks, the top 10, control roughly 70% of the market, so most people are getting their bank accounts from whichever major bank happens to be operating locally. And the thing about that is it kind of creates a luck of the draw type environment for people's bank accounts. So if you happen to live in a city where the two most aggressive or generous banks happen to be operating, you stand a pretty good chance of getting an above average rate in a national sense. But if you happen to live in one of the states with the least aggressive or least generous banks, then you tend to get lower rates. So it's really important to, obviously you need to consider local factors such as kind of the size of the ATM market and local branch availability if that's something that's important to you, but it's also important to kind of think broader, think outside of your local box, if you will, and consider kind of both bank accounts from major banks operating in your area, maybe online-only accounts from banks that are based elsewhere, as well as some local banks and credit unions to really get a sense of what offers are available, and then you can go on to focus on the terms that are most important to you and kind of casting aside the ones that really don't matter as much.
Yeah, you know, and you point that out so well in this report. I mean, this is crazy. You talk about Capital One offering pretty much uniform rates throughout the United States, but they have promotional interest rates that vary by region, as you're saying. And this is crazy, John. And I'm sure when you got all this information and you were analyzing it, promo rates in New York City are 113% higher than those in New Orleans. Is that population factor for them?
It's really kind of actually difficult to tell exactly what the motivations are in terms of having higher rates in one city versus the other. And banks kind of obviously rotate these offers fairly regularly depending on kind of their exact strategic plan of attack at the moment and kind of the types of new consumers they're trying to bring into the fold. So just because I guess rates are relatively high in New York City right now doesn't mean that's going to be the case in a couple months if Capital One switches its approach a little bit or other major banks kind of come in and recognize that they're losing out on some consumers in certain areas because other banks are offering regionally based terms. So this is kind of a fluid situation, but the main thing is for people to understand that the bank offers do vary geographically in certain instances, as well as kind of just an inherent difference from state to state, depending on which banks are operating there. So it's essentially understanding that those differences exist and then taking them into account, at least to a certain extent, when you're looking for a new bank account.
Yeah, we should tell everybody, too, it's tremendous, the whole report. You can go to wallethub.com and check it out. But here's a staggering number. You mentioned that in talking about these interest rates, that how much do they vary? I mean, when you're talking about interest rates, how much can they vary from city to city, John?
They can vary. I mean, as you mentioned, the promo rates in New York City area are 113% higher than those in New Orleans. The interest rates offered by mega banks that are operating, for example, in New Orleans, Houston, Boston, Burlington, Vermont, are 31 to 54% higher than the national average. So that's pretty significant there. And the lowest average APYs can be found in Indianapolis, Detroit, Kansas City, Oklahoma City, and Little Rock, Arkansas. And those rates are about 72% lower than the national average and actually 82% lower than the highest available rates in New Orleans.
So the lesson here is you really have to do a little homework. If you want to decide, it depends where you live, and you need to call around and ask some questions. Take the time to dig a little bit. Is that right?
Yeah, and the process of really kind of doing comparison shopping for anything these days, whether it's something clothing or a credit card or a bank account, it's a lot easier now that we have kind of the internet tools and we can easily go onto a website like WalletHub and compare thousands of these bank accounts in terms of their specific factors that we're looking for in order to find the best account for our needs. But the main kind of takeaway is to not always think nationally, not always think locally, kind of think the whole market and really pare down your options in terms of what exactly you're looking for, rather than just what happens to be around the block.
Yeah, the and some of it makes sense too because of where they're located. You know, like you said, this there could be a lot of factors in looking at these various rates. But I had a buddy that said to me one time, "Hey, if you have enough people and you know how to do it, the best thing in the world to do," and this is from a way different perspective, "is to open a bank." I mean, so we're not seeing the death of local banks necessarily, are we?
Well, this report in particular only looked at large national banks, but we did another report looking at the banking landscape more generally, and there are kind of bountiful options in terms of local banks and credit unions, regardless of where you happen to live. And actually, credit unions and small institutions often do offer the best terms, but that's again, not kind of a uniform truth, and so people have to confirm for themselves in terms of the exact type of accounts they're looking for at that time. There are a lot of rules of thumb that people can use to kind of guide them, but none of them should be taken as gospel.
In putting this report together, I guess I should have asked this at the top, but now we're listening to all this great information. What was the methodology? How did you arrive at what you arrived at, some of the information that we've already talked about?
So what we basically did was just some good old-fashioned kind of calling around and looking at bank websites kind of based on different zip codes. And so we looked at the bank accounts that are available from each of the 10 largest banks in the largest city in each state to get the regional hierarchy and differences that you can see in the report.
All right. So in doing that, in calling around and picking the various areas, big, smaller, that kind of thing, you know, it's interesting. One thing I noticed, you had Houston, Texas in there and talked about the number of mega banks with branches in the city, 6. And you talked about what the average was there, but for the most part, not too much in Texas. Did it have anything to do with whether or not you had state income tax or any of that kind of stuff, or no, it's just random?
We didn't really look into the particular factors of what drove a bank to have a presence in one city or other than versus another. But that, I mean, that's definitely a valid option. But yeah, I'm not exactly sure about the particular motivations about one bank setting up shop in one city versus another.
Yeah. All right, interesting stuff. Wallet Hub, they go to Wallet. People, you can go to WalletHub.com. There's a bunch of other information there, too. A lot of reports, other reports they've done, like the best and worst states to be a taxpayer. Yikes. And a few other things, best and worst place to start up a business, too, as well. John Peter, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
My name is Dell, and I live in El Cajon, California. I was concerned about my cholesterol readings because I knew that high cholesterol is related to clogging of the arteries and increases the risk for heart attack and stroke. One day, I heard an ad for Heart and Body Extract, and I was skeptical, but I decided to give it a try. Man, the numbers don't lie.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
The TalkStream Live app for iPhone, iPad, and Android is the fastest and easiest way to access live talk radio anytime, anywhere. Download the free TalkStream Live app right now and see for yourself. You'll enjoy instant access to the best in live talk radio. Find your favorite shows and discover some new ones. The TalkStream Live app is available in the App Store, the Google Play Store, or visit TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganics.com, spelled Terriganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Life's getting better.
Papa's got a brand new bag. Come to mama and let me play you the scene. And your man's hair is fine as blue jeans. And I'm drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
Coming up at the tail end of the hour, we do it by the numbers. We can count. But before we get there, the biggest number that the White House can count is over 7 million. They took a massive victory lap when the president appears from behind the curtain and addresses reporters who are in the room. It's a victory lap. So the sign-ups, the smiles, the fist pumps, all on display. Republicans frown and renew their idea of fighting to repeal it. Here's a little bit of what the president sounded like at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Despite several lost weeks out of the gate because of problems with the website, 7.1 million Americans have now signed up for private insurance plans through these marketplaces. 7.1. Those who've based their entire political agenda on repealing it have to explain to the country why Jeannie should go back to being uninsured. They should explain why Sean and his family should go back to paying thousands and thousands of dollars more. Thanks in part to leaders like Nancy Pelosi and Dick Durbin and all the members of Congress who are here today, we could not have done it without them, and they should be proud of what they've done. They should be proud of what they've done. Change is hard. Fixing what's broken is hard. Overcoming skepticism and fear of something new is hard. A lot of times folks would prefer the devil they know to the devil they don't. Making affordable coverage available to all Americans, including those with pre-existing conditions, is now an important goal of this law. And in these first 6 months, we've taken a big step forward.
So, big step or not, what say you, America? If you want to jump on it, you can now, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. The numbers, as I've already mentioned, we talked about already at the start of this show. What's interesting is how many people are going to keep the insurance? Are they paying for the insurance? What happens in these exchanges? There's a lot of questions about it. But you can't deny that hitting the actual number, hey, is what they said they were going to do. So if I'm the person running the White House, of course he's going to, of course the president is going to go and he's going to pump up his plan and talk about the fact that they hit the goal that they said that they would hit, especially when nobody thought it would hit 7 million, including me. But certainly the Congressional Budget Office, which is nonpartisan, they were looking at probably 6 million, and a lot of that is because of all those glitches in the beginning. So is it a phony number? I mean, that question of the phony number or not, the 7.1 million, is it inflated? Well, it's meaningless, I suppose, because you don't know how many people have paid, how many were previously uninsured. You heard the president personalize it, which, again, bravo, I would tell him to do the same thing, specifically mentioning people who now have insurance. But how many people of that number are the uninsured? How many of those people will pay? Some of them just signed their name. The overwhelming majority who signed up, the president says, had been uninsured, but only signed up for the Affordable Care Act because they couldn't keep their plans, right? So do they fall short of the goal of insuring the people without health insurance or not? How many are young and how many are healthy? These are all the same themes, though, that we've been talking about. And that's nothing new from the cocktail conversation in Washington, D.C. There is a line really across Pennsylvania Avenue, all the way down Connecticut and New Jersey, and then it leads and wraps itself around the Capitol. And it's two different sides, and we already know those factions and how they portray what has happened with health care in this country. But I wish we had those hard numbers, because I'd like to know. And it would be amazing if all of those people were uninsured. I'd have to give it to the president. If all those people were uninsured and they're going to pay for it, that would be something. But I don't know that we're going to know that. I don't think we're going to know it. And are we going to know whether it's a success or a failure? Some people say it depends on what state you're from. I say it depends on what your economic situation is. But some people would say it depends on the demographics of your state. For example, Oregon, they targeted over 189,000, but they got 38,000. Washington was looking for 272,000. They got 107,000. New Mexico needed 66,000. They got 15,000. The problem is, for those exchanges, they need bigger numbers and they need younger demographics. So that's a problem. Because how do you avoid the landmine? How do you know that you're in an exchange where you're going to get fair coverage and affordable coverage? Because, you know, they can't control that. You have to have youth. You have to have numbers. I mean, that's just the way it was set up. That's the idea of an exchange. Any kind of an exchange is supposed to be to the benefit of the people that are all part of it. So what happens? Are you going to have to, what about the government subsidies and the enrollees there and the insurance companies? How are they going to be able to hold down the premium costs? Because that's the key. Nobody wants to see their premium go up. They don't. If they can hold the premium costs down, which hasn't happened in many cases, that's the key thing that some of this hinges on. That's the key thing. So how many of the people, too, who enrolled in Obamacare? Because remember, there was, as was explained to us many, many times, and some of you know this because you might have signed up for it. I know a couple people who did. So did you get the silver plan? Or did you get a different plan? Because remember, there are a couple of different plans to get. And the silver plan was full coverage. And that would be cost effective. And why would the silver plan, which would be full coverage, why would that be cost effective? It'd be because you needed medical treatment. So those plans are subsidized. And that's the idea. The number of sick people, I think that those are the disproportionate numbers that won't add up, I believe, in the end. And for some of those states I mentioned, that's part of the problem, too. The demographics in the state. If you have enough healthy people, then you've got a winner, right? If you're connected to those people in New York, let's say, or Kentucky, or Kansas, or South Dakota, or Utah, especially Utah, because they got a lot of younger people to sign up. And I don't know if this is a surprise or not, but the District of Columbia did better than any other place. They had 45% of the people that participated in the prime demographic of 18 to 34 years old. Hawaii didn't do so great. Arizona didn't do so great. Maine didn't do so great. So how do you make up for the numbers that are woefully behind? And I would say that in some of those states that I mentioned, they're going to deem that it's a failure because they're going to struggle to figure out how to make that work. How do you make it work? It's going to have to be heavily subsidized. Definitely. Dan in Texas, you have the floor. Hello. Dan.
I had to put my headphones down.
That's okay.
Okay. Pavlov and his dogs did the midnight bark in the daytime, and they even brought in the winning team from last year's baseball game champions to promote all this dog and pony show that they got going on. But what they didn't say about Obamacare was that they went recruiting in three Mexican consulates. Se habla español, anybody? And guess what, boys and girls? The bottom line is you are going to pay for it. It doesn't matter who they sign up. The majority of them are going to get subsidies, but it's going to be subsidies on the backs of all of you, including all you people that are in college that are looking for jobs when you get your degree and get out and think that you're going to have something going for you. Forget it. The door is going to be slammed in your face because this is going to destroy jobs like nobody's business. They're not telling you about the upcoming dump that's going to happen right after the 2014 elections when all the major employers dump you out on the exchange. This includes Rick in Illinois. And the death panels will be installed for people that need treatment, and the government will decide on whether or not they get it. Sarah Palin was right. Take that, Rick. Have a nice day. Anyway, that's all from me.
I love that, Dan, going right after Rick's head. I think you're right, Dan, in the sense that that's what's going to happen unless something drastically changes, but I don't know what that would be, because all of a sudden that's going to kick in. He's right. After those midterms and then heading into the next year, when the rules are tweaked a little bit more, people are going to be dumped and they're going to be flooded onto the insurance exchanges. And that will be nightmarish because it goes back to that whole thing of the demographics and the premiums and what happens. How do you make all of that work? And so the great coverage you had, you're just like those people that were shocked when you got dumped and you had to go and surf for someplace else to get your insurance. Numbers next.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever sent a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained a leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
For you. 57 cents, what'll it get you? Mudslide death toll number sadly climbing. And also a Catholic archbishop living the high life. You know, that it's very hard to hide when the price of your mansion is announced. You can't hide for cover. In fact, let's start there. The Atlanta archbishop ended up apologizing for living in a $2.2 million residence. What about all those poor people you're supposed to be helping? So, I mean, it is a gorgeous place. I saw it and I thought, wow, what celebrity basketball player lives there or basketball wife? The Archbishop Wilton Gregory didn't get the Pope's message about being modest and modest living. I mean, this was days after the Pope removed a German bishop for his lavish spending on a renovation project. And this Atlanta archbishop apologized for building a $2.2 million mansion as his residence. He bowed to criticism from all the parishioners and said that he would consider selling the new home in Buckhead, one of the toniest areas in Atlanta. So letters, emails, meetings, and all the local Catholics told Gregory the price tag was outlandish, especially because of what the Pope was saying about frugality. So what is he to do with this Tudor-style mansion, 6,400 square feet. Wow, 6,400 square feet. What do you get in 6,400 square feet? Two dining rooms, a safe room. Also, a giant wet bar, I guess. Wow. I think he's going to probably find himself in a heap of trouble. I mean, recently, too, in Newark, New Jersey, the parishioners there criticized their archbishop, John Myers, and withheld some donations after they learned that the archdiocese was spending $500,000 to expand his retirement house, adding an indoor therapy pool, fireplaces, and an office library. Oh, you can only laugh at that. Wow. So, Francis, you got some work to do. Looks like you better get over here to America. You know, the German bishop, man, they ixnayed him quick. He spent $43 million on a new house and related renovations for that house. Man, this is a different kind of pope. He is going to clamp down on all this spending. And it's true. How can you pass around a collection plate and a basket? How can you pass that around twice, sometimes three times in a mass, and expect that people are going to feel good about that when they're struggling themselves? And this is how you're living. That just doesn't add up. That's, you would think they would realize that, but I guess they didn't. Right on to the sad note, but we got to keep you up to date on this. I've had a lot of emails about it. The death toll for the mudslide in Washington is now up to 28 officially. You know, the medical examiner's office is good for them. They want to make sure they properly, you know, have the autopsies of the people that they're digging out so they can identify them and they don't just throw out numbers. So that's what they're doing. And they've got that many people. They've got that many people, 28, and 22 have been identified. Wow. You know, and these are all over the board, the ages and whatnot of the people. 65-year-old Tom Satterley, and then a 23-year-old Adam Farnes, and boy, and it's the same. Pretty much what it is blunt force injuries. Because when the mud covers them over, that's what it is, like just blunt force. It's so heavy. And that's how they list it on the death certificate. So it's, man, it's rough, I'll tell you. Your thoughts have to go to those, not just the families, but I think those workers, the recovery workers. That'd be tough. I mean, you do what you have to do, and there's a reason why someone can do that work. But I think it'd be really, really, really rough to see that and to just see the hopelessness of what happened there. 57 cents. Doesn't sound like a lot, does it? So GM is being slammed for that at a hearing for failing to address 57-cent deficits linked to the deaths. And we're talking about ignition parts. So members of Congress knew this was easy prey. They tore into GM's management at a hot Capitol Hill hearing looking into fatal car wrecks linked to this defective part, the ignition. Congresswoman DeGetty from Colorado said, "We know that GM made a series of terrible decisions. We know that this tragedy has exposed significant gaps in federal laws that allowed them to do so." The GM, the General Motors, rather, CEO, Mary Barra, the head of the nation's auto safety watchdog group, testified as well before this House subcommittee on the defect in the small cars that is linked to 13 deaths. So fueling the outrage is the fact that the documents show that GM actually looked into the possible fixes for the problem back in 2005, but they decided it would be too expensive to address it. And it turned out to be 57 cents apiece to fix it. So, I mean, even the congresswoman was smart to Getty to emphasize it. She gets it. You got to have props. So she used a prop. She held up the ignition switch for one of the cars and said a small spring inside of it failed to provide enough force that caused the car's engine to turn off when they went over a bump. And it showed how easy it was for a light set of keys to move the ignition out of the run position So then that causes the engine to stall and the driver loses power steering and power brakes. Oh, that's scary. And can you imagine that kind of death? And why didn't they address it? And the CEO, all she could say, she found it disturbing. And they wanted answers. Well, who did this? Who do we look to? They have it in the record saying that this is what it would cost, but it would be too expensive to do it. Meaning recalling the cars, getting them all back in there, what the auto body shops would have to go through, that whole thing. So all the CEO could do is that, you know, we take action without consideration for cost, is what she's saying now. And she apologized to the people affected by the recalls, and especially to the people who lost family members and friends. She said, I'm deeply sorry. And she said it angers her that they had a situation that took over a decade to clean up. But she wasn't the CEO then. She didn't even say that, but she wasn't the CEO then. She just kept saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Congress wants to know if they should strengthen a 2000 law, one that kicked in then, that was supposed to improve communication between automakers and the government. It's a law. You have to communicate with the government. Well, there's this thing called, money. And I guarantee, I mean, who and how deep it went and what were the discussions, who knows. But if you sit there and say, look, it's a spring and this is what's happening, and then somebody sits there, they're not necessarily thinking, oh, people are going to die. They're thinking, well, we probably won't have too many problems with it. And maybe people have problems, but then that gets corrected or they bring it in, which is bad all the way around. So knowingly saying that they knew what the problem was, but it just didn't make any sense. It would be too expensive to fix it. And then you have those deaths directly linked to the problem. Oh, that is bad news. That is bad news for GM because they're going to end up paying. Not that they necessarily wouldn't have had to, because this is an easy layup class action suit, even individuals, whatever. But it's still, we go back to the same thing. It doesn't bring people back. I mean, I would be so enraged if this was the case. If I had someone in my family end up dead because of a spring in an ignition part that they knew. If they didn't know, that's a different story. But knowing it ahead of time, knowing it could have been fixed, and then they wouldn't have been in that situation, man, that is a bitter pill to swallow, let me tell you.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.